Okay, so we're on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, and we said we would do those two small tosefos, which I want to apply our minds to for a short amount of time, and then to get into quite a complex piece that comes right after that. The first tosefos, Ma Havaya BeKesef Af Yetzias BeKesef, was that the Gemara wanted to explore the possibility that one should be able to do a divorce with kesef as well. If kesef works as a kinyan for a marriage, why shouldn't it work as a kinyan for divorce as well? Is what the Gemara wanted to say. And the Gemara went through the whole thing as to why that doesn't work. So Tosfos says, but why did the Gemara not at any point discuss whether just as shtar works for kiddushin and for gerushin, and there was a havamina that kesef should work for kiddushin and gerushin, what about bia? Surely bia should also at least have been discussed. So Tosfos, no, the Indian bia lekala meima mahavaya bia afyitzi yosu bia. There's no vague intention to suggest that bia should be a valid kinyan for gerushin. And Tosfos gives two reasons. Surely he's rachik mimenu megarushu. The very reason he's getting divorced is to create distance. Why would they do that by means of intimacy? That doesn't make sense. And furthermore, one of the reasons, certainly the primary reason the Torah gives to justify a divorce, is if the woman hasn't been faithful. There's almost an assumption that that's really the only grounds nowadays. They just don't like each other that much anymore. Instead of working on the relationship, they get divorced. But that wasn't the intention of the Torah. Although there's clearly the out of divorce that the Torah allows and makes very clear. And that's a chidush in the Torah, because in most religions that they struggle with that. How do you allow it? In the Torah, it was always a dovah poshut. It was always built into the system. But the intention was that divorce is designed for unfaithfulness. It's not designed just for we're having trouble in the marriage, so let's try divorce. And if the assumption is that in most cases the divorce is caused by the suspicion of unfaithfulness or actual unfaithfulness, then they're not allowed to have. Then they're not allowed to not allowed to be intimate. So how could Bia possibly then be the? How could Bia possibly be the kinyan? So one might say, yeah, okay, not allowed to, but a man's not allowed to have relations with his sister-in-law either. And yet, in the case of Yibum, Torah says that's the way you do it. So why couldn't the Torah say also, yes, you're right, if there's been unfaithfulness, there shouldn't be bia. But if you're using bia just as a kinyan to do a divorce, maybe yes. But we see that the kinyan has to make sense in a context. It's not just the object. The context has to be right. And that's an important idea throughout Torah. That it's all very well looking with a microscope at a particular issue, but you've also got to look at what sense the issue makes in terms of the broader context. And we use context to interpret. We use context to understand. And that's in life in general. It's really important to do that. One can make anything look absurd if you reduce it to a dot. You can take a pixel on a digital photograph, and what is it? It's nothing. It only becomes something when you see it in the context of all the other pixels around it. And so you can take any detail of life and you can minimize it and focus down onto that one detail, and it becomes meaningless. It becomes not able to be understood. Halacha is the same way. It's all very well that's what the role of a posek. When a posek paskins for a person, when there's a shayla and a posek paskins, what's he looking at? He's not just looking at the technical focus of the detail of halacha, bless you. Not just looking at the detail focus of the technical aspect of the halacha, he's looking at the whole context also. Because that plays a part in the way one understands a halacha, plays a part in the way you apply a halacha. And one has to be able to do both at the same time, look at the detail and at the context. And here, you might be able to argue in the technical detail that bia, just as it works for kiddushin, should also work for gerushin. It just doesn't make sense in the context. It just would be completely nonsensical in the context, and therefore it wouldn't be appropriate. And the second tosefos on the issue of sanege yase katega, which we spoke about a little bit last time. When the Gemara wanted to say, how does the hekesh not work both ways around? So we said because it would come out that kesef can be used for Gerushin, and Kesef can be used for Gerushin, that's in Kategor and Sanegor Yaseh Kategor. And the Gemara said, what about Shtar? We said, no, it's a different Shtar, but the Kesef isn't a different, isn't Kesef. And one of the things we discussed last week was, there's a Hekesh, who cares if Sanegor Yaseh Kategor or not? That seems to be such a light issue. It's an aesthetic thing at the end of the day, so it's like a poetic thing. It doesn't feel right. It's not poetic that the Sanegor should be a Kategor. But this isn't about poetry. This is about halacha, and you've got a Hekesh, and a Hekesh is Midoraisa. Why would you not think that that the Hekesh overrides a poetic idea of Sanegor? How can the Sanegor be Yaseh Kategor? And we try to resolve it in various different ways. It's possible also that one of the ways of looking at it is that a Hekesh, more than any other limud in the Torah, is aesthetic. It's appearance. Kal vachomer is logic. Gzera Shova is a technical analysis of usage of language. But what is a Hekesh? When two things are just mentioned together in the same posuk, it's visual. Isn't that right? A Hekesh is visual. Without the visual, you don't notice that there's a Hekesh.
It's thematically linked.
It's not necessarily thematically linked that much. It's linked in one sentence, but you're right. The Hekesh tells us that there is a thematic linkage. So when two things that shouldn't be in the same sentence are in the same sentence, we say it's coming to teach us something. But the idea of that juxtaposition is in itself something aesthetic. You look at it, well, you need the eye to notice that this is something worth commenting on. It's not done by intellectual analysis. It's really done visually. So maybe by Hekesh more than anywhere else, there's a question of a Hekesh not overriding something such as Sanegor Yaseh Kategor, which is also a visual thing. Not sure, not very happy with any of the answers that we've had. It's just really interesting to see how powerful this idea is, and that the Gemara is willing to limit the power of a Hekesh because of Sanegor Yaseh Kategor. Ask Tosfos Ben Tzomim, Ken Hekesh Omer Le'el Ma'ala Amo Yevriyu Sheken Yotze Bekesef Bedinu She'tehen Niknes Bekesef Adere Begreyusa De'en Kategor Naseh Sanegor. So how does it work with Amo Yevriyu? In the case of Amo Yevriyu, we asked, we wanted to say, just as Amo Yevriyu goes out with Kesef, that she should be Niknes Bekesef. On the contrary, we should say, if she goes out Bekesef, she should not be Niknes Bekesef, because how can a Kategor become a Sanegor? That's what the Gemara should have asked. V'yesh lama, Zeba'amo Yevriyu lekelamem ha'chidufi shemitchilo she'aviya moichro l'shifchus hu mekabel ha'kesef min ha'odin. אם כן, כשהוא רצה לפתור יסוד דין הוא שיקבל הודון הכסף, אבל אישו מקדש אישו, הכל בו על ידו בין הקידושים בין הגורישים, באוסון שייך למיפרים לכסף מכניס. So it explains to us that it's very different. In the case of Amo Yevriyu, they really are trading. They really are, the father is transferring an asset to the husband, in the case of Amo Yevriyu, the father is transferring an asset, that is the labor of the girl, the rights to the labor of the girl, to the other. When you're trading in an asset, it's quite understood that when you can trade it back and you can get it and you can get it back. But when you've got an issues mekadesh and isha, then it would be that both in the case of kiddushin and the case of gerushin, he would be paying out the money. It isn't a trade; it's really a kinyan. When it's a trade, so I give you money, you give me object. Later on, I sell the object back to you. So now I give you you give me object, and I give you money. We just do it in the reverse. That's natural. That's how trade works. But in the case of kiddushin, what would we say? He's mekadesh an isha, he gives her money. He's megarish an isha, he gives her money. That's not it. That doesn't make any sense. So clearly, you're using the very same vehicle to do two opposite things. It's not that the direction is opposite. If the direction is opposite, then I understand it does opposite things. Money that is transferred from A to B is used for purchase. Money that is transferred from B to A is used for sale. If you're looking at a particular individual, so if you're selling the girl's labor, then you're going to use money. You're going to buy the girl's labor back, you'll use money again. That makes sense. But if you use money from A to B, and the second time it's also from A to B, and in the first case it causes kiddushin, and the second case it causes gerushin, that doesn't make any sense. That's completely illogical. And that's the difference between Amo Yevriyu and the case of kiddushin. So those are the two small tosfos that I wanted to touch on before we move forward.
Couldn't she give back the money, in essence, and repudiate the transaction? Like if she
in the case of Amavriya or the case of Kiddushin?
In the case of Kiddushin, she gets the kesef, she's acquiring the kesef. Let's say she takes the kesef. Theoretically, couldn't she give back the Kiddushin, the kesef, and then repudiate the Kiddushin transaction?
Yeah, the Torah says he's got to divorce his wife. Mm-hmm. The same as he married his wife, he's got to divorce. So just as we say that by Kiddushin, he has to be the active one, so there too. So that he has to do the act. Whatever the act is, he's got to do it. Mm-hmm. So the Havamina is not that she would buy herself back with the Kiddushin, that she would pay the money. So here, take your ring, I want a divorce. Mm-hmm. That's not the intention. The intention is he has to do it. Vashilcha, he must send her away. How does he send her away? With a get. So the Gemara said, maybe send her away with money. Pay her a severance package. That's also a way people send people away. And it's only because En Sanegan Nasi Kategel we don't do that. Mm-hmm. But otherwise we would have used it. If it weren't for that, we would have used it. And the Hegishman said, yeah, you're right. You can actually send her away with a severance package. Because that's what we do. We hire somebody, we give them money. We fire somebody, we give them money. Mm-hmm. So you see, the only thing that's wrong with it is En Sanegan Nasi Kategel, if that's the actual kinyan. Now we come to a very challenging piece of Gemara, but very exciting. It'll take us the 2 weeks. We won't finish it tonight, because it involves Gemara on the next page as well. Although I told you I need to go up to the two dots. Did any of you go much further than the two dots on the Gemara? Have any of you turned the Omud? Okay, so it involves Gemara on the other side of the Omud, and if we need it tonight, we'll look at the piece that we need. So don't worry about it if you haven't seen it. And during the coming week, you'll do the Gemara for the next two dots. And we'll spend this week, and I'm sure next week, on it in order to clarify and get it very, very clear, because we'll need to understand it, and then it'll be good for you to work on it again, and then we'll do it again next week and take it a little bit further, and then you'll get it clear. Here's the issue. Let's go through the Gemara. The Gemara starts. So the fourth last thin line, just before the thick line starts. Fourth line from there. Fifth line from the bottom. Chado mi chado loy asya. So we have tried every way possible to deduce one kinyan from another. Can we learn kesef from shtarim? Can we learn shtarim from kesef? Can we learn beer? We've tried everything. And we need all three. But the Gemara says we haven't yet exhausted all possibilities that these are three separate categories, because that's what we're really trying to explore. Are these three different categories separate categories, or are they one category with three subcategories? And we've established so far they're three separate categories. Each of these kinyonim are learned from a different place, and therefore they have a different character to them.
Sorry, I don't understand. When you say that it's three separate categories, that again, shtar, kesef, and beer. When you talk about one category with two subcategories, what would be then the major category, shtar?
So then we would say, the Rambam, for example, says bia is the main one. That's the real d'oraisa. And some say kesef and bia are the main one, and shtar would be a secondary one. It would depend which one we would be able to learn from the other. So if you can deduce A from B, then B is the primary category and A is the extension. And if from B you can deduce A and C, then you say A, B and C are all part of one category. B is the primary and A and C are secondary. They're deduced. So we haven't been able to learn any one from any other one, but we haven't tried learning one from the other two. So maybe there are only two categories and the third one has been deduced. Now we see that further down in the Gemara, we see in Rav Huna has a din, that chuppah works as a kinyan for kiddushin. Now we know that chuppah works as a kinyan for nisuin, but Rav Huna says that chuppah works even for a kinyan for kiddushin. So you could, according to Rav Huna, a man and a woman could turn up at their wedding, let's say in our day, and there's a chuppah up, and he says he hasn't got a ring. I'm sorry, I don't have a ring. I don't have any kesef. Hareyat mekudeshes. By entering this chuppah, you are mekudeshes.
Doesn't have to be his chuppah?
Let's say it's his chuppah according to some. It has to be his chuppah according to others. Not. Let's say it's whatever it needs to be. But he is using a chuppah instead of a ring. So this is not a chuppah for nisuin. This is a chuppah instead of a ring for the ma'aseh kiddushin. Rav Huna says that works. And So where does it say chuppah? Where in the Torah does it say chuppah? No, it says Rabbi, it doesn't say in the chuppah Torah. We figure it out. We figure it out logically, as we'll do in the next piece of Gemara. Which means, how many categories of kinyan are there according to Rav Huna?
Four. Or three in a subset.
That's it. Still three. There's still three. Chuppah being deduced out of those three. But there's still three primary, and that's why Rav Huna would say, the Mishnah says, B'shlosha drachim. Why doesn't it say, Rav Huna, why doesn't it say four? The Gemara asks on him later on. It doesn't say four because we're talking about primary categories. There are three primary categories, and there's a fourth one, which is secondary. Says the Gemara, but we haven't yet analyzed why the Gemara says there are three primary categories. Maybe there are two primary categories, and one of the three can be deduced from the other two combined. They can't be deduced from any one, but maybe they can be deduced from the other two combined. Says the Gemara, Chada mi chada lo yasir. Tesi, chada mi chada lo yasir. Tesi, chada mi chada lo yasir. Tesi chada mi tati. Ask the Gemara, but let us try and learn two from one and see if that works. Says the Gemara, hey Tesi, let's try that. Which two do you plan to use as your primary one and learn the third one? Lo lichtei brachmon de bishtar. So let's say shtar, because shtar is the one that we don't have a clear posuk for. We learn it from the Hekesh. So let's say shtar. Let's not say shtar is not stated anywhere. Could we learn shtar from kesef and bir? But that won't work, because I would say there's a difference between those two that doesn't allow the deduction. Mala hanach sheken hanoson beruba. Kesef and bir, the woman gets something. In addition to the marriage, she gets some immediate benefit. Kesef has value, and the bir has pleasure, so she gets something in it. But shtar, she gets nothing. So maybe you can't learn shtar from those two. Maybe there is a requirement in the kinyan of kiddushin that there is some form of hano. Lo nichtoiv rachmona bevio v'teisim yanoch. So let's leave bia out and say we know kesef from the Torah and we know shtar from the hekesh. Let's learn bia. Let's learn bia from those two. Says the Gemara, that's not going to work, because Ma'al Hanach Shekein Kinyon and Meruba. Kesef and Shtar, they're well known Kinyonim. They work all over the place. Bias, where do we get Bias from? This is a new Kinyon. So who says we can learn Bias from those two? Loi Nichtoiv Rachmona BeKesef V'Teisi MiHanach. So what about if we exclude Kesef? Let's say Kesef isn't written, isn't the primary one, and let's figure Kesef out from the other two. Says the Gemara, that also won't work, because Ma lahanach sheken yeshnon bal kerchon. Because Kesef and because Bia and Shtar both have instances where they are so powerful that they can be used even bal kerchon without intent. So let's learn the Rashi. Let's work with the Rashi of Bal Kercho. So says Rashi, Bal Kercho, Bia koine biyavoma, Bal Kercho. Denachkelon biyavomas miyibmo. So we have learned, we've made mention of this already several times, that in the case of Yibum, even if the woman doesn't want the Yibum, the Yibum can take place, and it can take place without her willing participation. It's a very unusual circumstance that we've got. It's one of the few situations where that can happen, but it can be, and we've discussed the reasons for it, various different reasons. The one is that at the end of the day, it's a maise mitzvah. It's not entering into a relationship. They're not getting married because they're in love. They're just getting into mitzvah that has to be done. And the other reason is that she already agreed to it when she married the brother. So it's too late for a nana to agree. That's the deal. When you get married, the deal is that if the husband dies without children, then Yibum takes place. That she knew that. so that she's already, so to say, agreed to that. So various reasons why the Torah says Yibmo, and from that we learn that she does not have to be a willing participant in the fulfillment of that mitzvah. So you see, there is a circumstance, as unusual as that circumstance is, there is a circumstance where Bio can work Bal Kocha, even if the woman doesn't want it, the Bio can work. That's a very powerful kinyan. Likewise with shtar. Shtar moitzi is a issue bal kocha mi balo. that even if a woman doesn't agree to a divorce, a husband can divorce her. And make her adin. So that's a very powerful kinyan. Normally a kinyan needs the willing consent of the parties transacting. Here we have two examples. There are very few examples of the Torah where a kinyan can take place, and the parties, both parties, don't have to agree. One involves bi'ah, and one involves shtar. There's no case of kesef where that doesn't have to be. So maybe we can't learn kesef from bi'ah and shtar.
In another Gemara I learned somewhere way back when, the din of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, that Bezdin actually has the power to, in effect, nationalize your assets, right? Like a government. So now it's mine. And in effect, they can void the transaction. Bal Kroko, he may not like it, but Bezdin has that power. So there are instances where, with Kesef, you could do something, but Bezdin has the ability to do something.
Yeah, Bezdin can, but not the contracting parties. Here we're talking about the contracting parties. One contracting party can impose a kinyan on another. That goes against all laws of contract. So you see that Yibum is not a contract, and Gerushin is not a contract. And it's unilateral, and if they're unilateral, they're not contracts. So you see that that Kesef and Bia, Shtar and Bia, are sufficiently strong kinyonim to function even in a non-contractual, unilateral situation. That's very unusual. That's the power of Shtar, and that's the power of Bia. But Kesef doesn't have that power. Kesef is transactional, Kesef is contractual. So ask the Gemara. So this is the piece we've got to focus on very carefully and pay a lot of attention. B'chi tema Kesef nami bar kocho ba'amo ha'ivriya. But there is a case of bar kocho with Kesef as well. A father sells a young girl into slavery as to an odin. The girl doesn't have to agree. Explains Rashi. That the father doesn't have to negotiate with the girl. He can decide that this is in your interest, this is what I want you to do, and he can sell her. This is a girl who's under 12 years old. He can do that. And what is the kinyan he uses? How does the odin acquire the amo? He pays kesef. So here you've got an amo who gets sold to an odin. She's screaming, I don't want to. And she hasn't got an opinion in the matter. We don't take any notice of her. It's bar kocho, she's forced, and kesef is the kinyan. So we see kesef has the power to transact. Also, like bia and shtar, there is an instance where kesef has the power to transact unilaterally. Answers the Gemara. Be'ishus mi'al lo yashkicha. Notice those words very carefully. Issues mi'aloi ashkicha. Yes, you're right. In the case of amo ivriya, kesef can transact unilaterally, but not in the case of issues. Amo ivriya is not issues. Although she might well land up becoming the odin's wife, and that's partly the intention, nevertheless, that's not called issues. That the money used for the purchase is not kesef kiddushin. The money used for the purchase is purchasing money. He's paying for a contract of labor up front. That's what he's paying for. He's purchasing a contract of labor, and that's a transaction. That's a contract. But by issues, you don't find it. Whereas bia, you do find by issues bar kocho. In the case of a yavama, they live together as husband and wife. That's issues. And shtar, you find bar kocho where divorce. That's issues. That's in the laws, in family law, in the law of issues. You find bar kocho both in the case of bia and in the case of shtar, but not in the case of kesef. That would seem to be quite straightforward, isn't that right? Now, it'll help us to see the piece on the next page, even though you haven't prepared it, but we'll have a look at it. And I'm not going to do the whole Gemara now. I'm just going to do the piece that concerns us. What the Gemara is trying to do here is to learn that chuppah is a valid kinyan, although it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that it's a valid kinyan. And how does the Gemara want to learn that chuppah is a valid kinyan? It wants to learn primarily from a kal vachomer, using kesef as the kal vachomer. What is the kal vachomer? The kal vachomer is that the money given at the time of kiddushin is not strong enough to complete the marriage, because even after kiddushin, the husband doesn't yet inherit her, and the husband alone cannot annul her vows. So money isn't strong enough to be able to complete the marriage, but chuppah is. And if chuppah is strong enough to complete the marriage in ways that kesef cannot, then chuppah could be the only kinyan. The chuppah is stronger than kesef in the case of marriage, is what the Gemara wants to learn, as the way Rav Huna comes to his conclusion that chuppah is a valid kinyan. And then the Gemara goes on through a lot of questioning, but they're different and you can't learn one from the other, and so they go backwards and forwards. And if you want to ask a question on kesef, I'll bring you a raya from shtar, and you want to ask a raya from shtar, I'll bring you a raya from bia, and so they go backwards and forwards. The piece that we know, whether we need, is asks the Gemara, this is now 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines from the top. Mala Hatzadashove is where the line starts. Says the Gemara, you cannot learn chuppah from the other three, no matter how you try and combine them. You cannot learn chuppah from the other three. Why not? Because ma'ala hatzara shove shebohem shekein yeshnan bal kircha are very similar to our case here. So that's why this is a parallel piece of Gemara and very important to learn together with the piece that we're learning. So you can't learn chuppah using kal vachomer supported by the other two. A kal vachomer from kesef supported with shtar and bia, and from that we'll learn a kal vachomer to say that chuppah works as well. For kiddushin, don't worry, we're talking about kiddushin. Chuppah works for nisuyin, that we know. But the chiddush is that Rav Huda wants to use chuppah even for kiddushin. And he wants to learn chuppah for kiddushin from a combined kal vachomer from kesef, supported by shtar and bia. And through all three, you come out that chuppah can also work. And next week we'll go into the details of that limud. But all we need right now is the Gemara's question, ma'ala tzad ha'shova shemashikin yishnan bal kircha. But they can all be bal kircha. Where are the cases where they're all bal kircha? So bios bal kircha where?
Yavama.
Shtar is a bal kircha by gerishin. Kesef is a bal kircha where?
By
Amo Ivriya. By Amo Ivriya. But we've just said Amo Ivriya doesn't count. We just said Amo Ivriya doesn't count, didn't we say? But here they come. Look at Rashi, the second line from the top. Shekein yeshnan bal kircha. Shekoino be'alma, because they are koine, bal kircha, be'alma. Bia be'yevoma. Ushtar be'geirushin. The kesef be'amo Ivriya. We've got cases where they work bal kircha. Answers the Gemara, v'rav huna. Let's go back into the Gemara. Kesef mia be'ishus loy ashkechon bal kircha. You're right, but for bia, you're right, yevoma. For shtar, you're right, gerushin. But for kesef, don't bring me a raya from Amo Ivriya, that doesn't count. Amo Ivriya is not issues. So that's the other piece of Gemara. Now we can just look, have a look at the Tosfos on in our piece of Gemara.
Well, the question is, first question on the mind is, how could the Gemara over here say it doesn't work, and here it says it does work? And that here it says, only Rav Huna says, yeah, it doesn't work, which means implies that everyone else says, oh, it would work.
Yeah, good question. This is here generally. Yeah, everybody says, everybody seems to accept it doesn't work. Be'ishus milashkecham, there's no case be'ishus. Rav Huna says no case be'ishus. And what about everybody else? And we don't paskin like Rav Huna, yet here we hold like him. That's one of the things we're going to have to sort out, definitely. But Tosfos has a
there's a whole bunch of questions on this.
Yeah, we'll work through them.
What about marrying out a Ksana to? You can father can marry off a Ksana.
forget Amar, really, canary or not.
Your thinking is so beautiful, it's exactly as Rabbeinu Tam thinks.
No, it's not.
Then you're a plagiarist.
No,
yeah, it seems so obvious. I mean, the Tam's kasha seems so obvious if you're going to learn that. So we're going to have to deal with that. How do we understand it initially? How does Rashi understand it? And I mean, the Tam's suggestion for Rashi is so weak.
He says
Yesh Mi Ashmi. There's some people want to answer it that way, but he himself is acknowledging it. Well, let's see what he says. Let's see what he says. So let's work through this.
There was another question that we came up with also, which is, what does she have? She has
That's the core question. That really is the core question. Remember, I said that with a sugya, you've got to ask yourself, what is the sugya about? So on a technical level, the sugya is about can you learn two one from two, or can't you learn one from two? That's the technical discussion. But the deeper layer of meaning that comes out of this Gemara, including the next sugya, so really these two pieces have to be learned together. And next week we will. But so if you take the whole sugya from here, from Chado Michado, and you take that all the way to the next two dots, the real thing that comes out in that discussion is what is a Ktana in this transaction? Is she a pawn that's being traded? Or is she a human being? Is she a gavra or is she a chefza? Is she a subject? Is she a legal entity that has some kind of das? Or is she just an object that has no das and she's traded backwards and forwards? And what is the relationship between the father's intention and her intention? How do they work together? Do they work together? What happens when they're in conflict with one another? So that's really what we're exploring, is the relationship of the father and an under 12-year-old daughter in terms of their legal capacity and their intention. We'll get quite deep into that. That's the real issue that the Gemara is going to unravel. So Tosfos says Sheken Yeshma Bar Korcha Pirish Bekuntrus Bia Beyavoma Shtar begerushin and kesef ba'amah ivriya. Where does Rashi say all of that? Our Rashi here, isn't that right? Bar kocho biyo koine biyavom bar kocho denafkan biyavom biyavom. V'chein shtar mivayot emotzis aisha bar kocho mibala. And ba'amah ivriya bar kocho shaviyo meichro shaloi midata. Those are the cases that Rashi brings. V'koshe l'rabbeinu tam. And Rabbeinu Tam asks a kasha on his grandfather. In ze choshuv bar korcho, ma she'av moicher is bitoi bar korcho. If you consider a father selling his daughter under 12 years old, bar korcho, you consider that as bar korcho. What does he mean by if you consider it bar korcho? Of course it's bar korcho.
You have to have a will to begin with.
Yes. Meaning?
You have to presume she has that he's selling her against her das, against her will.
Right.
Otherwise, an object has no das. Right?
So that's the assumption, isn't that right? So if you Rashi want to say that the young girl has das, and the father overruling her das is what we mean by bal korcho, im kein, maika omar avuna lekame kesef b'ishus mia loy ashkechem bal korcho. Then what does Rav Huna mean when he says that in Ishus there's no Baal Korcho? Halo ha'av mekadosh bita ketana bekesef Baal Korcho. It's exactly the same scenario. A father, that's what you're asking in Pesach. Is that right? Isn't that right? That the father has the right to give away his daughter, to be mekadosh his daughter, under 12 years old without her will. So that's also Baal Korcho. So if you want to say we don't reckon with the girl's das because she hasn't got any das, she's just an object, then it's not Bar Korcho, that doesn't mean Bar Korcho. If you say that is Bar Korcho, then it's Bar Korcho in both cases. And why does Rav Huna say that in Ishus there's no case of Bar Korcho? There is a case of Bar Korcho. Now what's immediately our question on Tosfos? Even before we get it very deeply into it. What's odd in what Tosfos has just said? Why is he asking on Rav Huna on the next page? Why isn't he asking on our Gemara right here? Sheken Yishna Bar Korcho. On the very words he's talking about, the next three words is his kasha. He doesn't know that. That doesn't seem to bother him. He's worried about Rav Huna on the next page. Why are we worried about Rav Huna on the next page when we've got it in front of us? So that's the first thing that we need to understand. Sorry? So what are we trying to deduce in our Gemara? The Maharsho explains. What are we trying to deduce in our Gemara? So we've got the two givens, if you think of it as an equation with two constants and an unknown. So the X here is Kesef. So we don't know Kesef. We're trying to work out what the deal is with Kesef, and we're using Shtar B'yah. So at this point, it's quite legitimate to say we have no other case of Kesef in Ishus that is Bar Korach. This would be the first. So how could you learn that? Where would you get it from? I have a case of Bio that's Bar Korach in Ishus, Yevoma. I have a case of Shtar which is Bar Korach in Ishus, Gittin. I don't have a case of Kesef which is Bar Korach. So how could I learn Kesef as a valid Kinyan using Bio and Shtar? That's legitimate, I understand that. But on the next page, what are we trying to learn? We're trying to learn Chuppah. And where are we trying to learn Chuppah from? From all three, including in Kesef particularly, with the support of the other two. So we're trying to learn from all three. So the Gemara, you can't learn from all three because Ma'ala Atzara Shove, all three share a common property that Chuppah doesn't have. They all work Bal Korcho. Answers Rav Huna, but not by Ishus. Excuse me. Now you can't say we don't know about Kesef. Of course we know about Kesef. We're trying to extrapolate from Kesef to Chuppah. And the Kesef from which we're trying to extrapolate works Bal Korcho. Because you, Rashi, have just said that Bal Korcho means against the will of the girl. If you wouldn't explain Bal Korcho that way, then I wouldn't have a problem with Rav Huna.
It's a strange comparison though, between Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, because the Shtar and Bia, to me the whole idea of Bal Korcho is very obviously that the counterparty can force the subservient counterparty, Bal Korcho. And that's not what happens with the Naf.
That's how Rabbeinu Tam answers. You're thinking like Rabbeinu Tam all the way through. But we're going to catch you out still. We're still going to catch you out because Rabbeinu Tam has a really good reason why he works like that, and Rashi has a really good reason why he doesn't, and that's where we're going to have to understand it. But at this point, from a logical perspective, you're arguing like Rabbeinu Tam. You're saying at the end of the day, there are two contracting parties, and there's a girl. And the two contracting parties have to be... They've got to be consensual. And if they're consensual, that's not called Bar Korcho. So what is Bar Korcho? So Va'omer Rabbeinu Tam, Kivan de'av b'mokim bitoy koi. The Rabbeinu Tam says a very important principle here, that it's not that a father overrules his daughter, that a father forces his daughter. You can only force somebody who has an opinion. But if you are the person's mind, and that's how you've got to look at an av and a bat. It's not that the little girl has an opinion. Nowadays you would think maybe it's the other way around. You would think that the little girl is the father's opinion. But in the time of the Torah, that isn't how it was. The father was the opinion. The little girl didn't have an opinion yet. She started developing an opinion when she became an arrow, but until that time, she didn't have das. But it's not that she has das and the father overrules it. It's an important principle because it's probably an important principle with a katan as well. It's not just a katana, that we have the din of selling with a katana. But the idea is, you know, you say to the kid, go to bed. The kid says no. It's not a negotiation. The kid actually didn't say no. The kid, because you are the kid. If you say bedtime, that means the kid wants to go to bed because you are the kid. The saying no, that's just some other thing playing out. It's not a rational opinion. It's not that the child has thought about it and said, you want me to go to sleep? Well, I've considered your opinion and I've analyzed the pros and cons and I've come to the conclusion that it's not right, not the right time for it. That's not what's happening. That's why I say today it's different. Today it seems to be that the children have the das and the parents just follow what the children want to do. But that's not what it is. That you have the das. You link to your opinion, your das is the, and that's why it's not a negotiation and it's not even an imposition. When I say according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's an amazing educational principle. That when you overrule a katan, it's not that you're imposing your will on the katan. It's not at all. You're fulfilling the will of the katan because your will is the katan's will. That's the role of a parent of a katan. Your will is the katan's will. What you want for your child is what the child wants. The child isn't capable of wanting anything differently. So when the child kicks and screams, that's just rebellion. That's nothing. That's not because the child's actually reasoning it out. And you've got to go ahead and do what you need to do. So, kivan da'av b'mokoyim bitoy koi. A father of a ktana stands in her place. His das is her das. He doesn't overrule her das. His das is her das. En zechel shu bar kocha. That isn't bar kocha, as they're supposed to say. That's not called bar kocha. That's willing. The transacting party is willing. Kivan shu midas shelav. But Rashi doesn't learn that way. And it doesn't make any sense that Rashi doesn't learn that way. Rabbi Natan seems to be so obvious that's the way. So on the next page, when Rav Huna says that the issues mi'alo ashichon, that there's no case of kesef bal kocho in issues, he's right. Where is there a case of kesef bal kocho be issues? So, but then you're going to ask, where is the case of kesef bal kocho not be issues? Where is the case? Amavriel. So why don't we say the same thing? It's the das of the father. But still the girl says no, the father says yes, the father is the das of the girl, the father and the Odin agree, that's consensual. That's Rabbi Natan himself asks the question. So in that case, how can it possibly work with an Amo Evriya? It's the same case, it's parallel. So this is how you would rephrase the question. Kesef isa ba'ama bar kocha kagon sheha odin miya'ed esa ivriya bekesef miknoso bar kocha shel av uvar kocha shel bas. Once the sale has taken place, the odin can marry her unilaterally. There's no longer a consent required from anybody, not from the girl nor from the father. Yeah, but you've just answered that yourself with Yibum by saying that even though the woman accepted to it at the time, since at the time of the actual Maiser, she's yelling and screaming and saying, I don't want this, that's called Bar Kocha. So here, even if the girl and the father are screaming, he can go ahead and be Miyayed.
But Yibum, you can tie it, she may have said, yeah, whatever, because she felt like she's going to be married to guy number one for the rest of her life. She didn't think he was going to die suddenly, and especially without children. But with the katana, the Torah specifies, this is how it plays out. It's pretty defined. So I don't know, it's not so precious to say that from Yibum is such a strong fact.
You're right.
And then if you were to say that the father is about Torah, then this is the whole opinion, maybe it's metal close, because he can say, I didn't think that this was going to happen, that she would be.
Yeah, so there you are. There, as I say, that's part. That was the deal. That's what the when you got into that he knew, and it must have been explained to him that that's what's going to happen. But then you're saying, so why is it Bar Kocha? So you'll say because then he changed his mind, and when it actually came to it, he's yelling and he's screaming. He doesn't want to go ahead with it, and you're saying it's kind of a weaker Bar Kocha, which would explain the Rashi side of it a little bit more. So we begin to see the two stadium of the arguments. The way it says that he's got to be miyayda, it doesn't have to be with her will. He just has to tell her that this is from now on. This is mekudeshes. You've been my servant girl up till now. From today onwards, you're not my servant girl. You're now mekudeshes. You're a full wife. That I've got to work for you. This is you've got to tell her that, and even if she objects, it doesn't matter. And there is no miyum. V'af agav the omer lekaman beishus mi'alo yashkichano v'chi agav neshemiyad have issues. I says Rabbi in the time you might regard this as issues, and the Gemara says on the next page, Rav Huna says on the next page, there is no case of of bar kocha by issues. This appears to be issues. Mikomakom b'tchila loybo hakesif b'shvil issues. That kinyan, when they transacted over the amma, when the father received kesef from the odin, that kesef was not for kiddushin. That kesef was specifically for amma, even though built into it was the possibility of retrospectively converting it into kesef kiddushin, but at the time of the transaction it was 100% transaction, it wasn't kiddushin at all, and therefore that's not called part of kiddushin. Now that, for the meanwhile, that's as far as we'll take it in the Tosfos. So the Tosfos is Rabbein the Tam questioning Rashi's view of Bal Kocha. Rashi sees the case of Bal Kocha as a father handing over a screaming girl to an Odin as an Amma. That's what he sees as the case of Bal Kocha. Asks Rabbein the Tam, but in that case, a father handing over a screaming girl to a husband is also Bal Kocha? And he doesn't answer that for Rashi. He leaves that as a kasha on Rashi. He says, therefore, that's not how you define Bar Kocha. Bar Kocha is between the transacting parties. But what about Rashi? And yeah, the Rabbi Tam is going to suggest an answer, and the Tosfos is going to suggest an answer in a little while. But we've got much bigger issues with Rashi, so we're going to have to understand, particularly, how Rashi learns the piece on the next page, and we'll just start it. We'll just have a look at it so that during the week you've got what to focus on, in addition to going through the Gemara and the Rashi, but you'll know what to focus on for the week. So if you'll notice, let's look at that Gemara again inside. Ma lehatzad ha-shove shobehen sheken yeshnan v'al-karcha. You got that? Kesef, bio, shtar, all have examples of Bar Kocha. How can you learn Chuppah from that? Chuppah, there's no case of Bar Kocha. And what are the three cases of Bar Kocha? Shtar is Get, Bio is Yevoma, and Kesef is now what? Is Yiud by Amo Ivriya. That's what Kesef is, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Answers the Gemara, but Rav Huna kesef mir be issues lo ashkich from Bar Kocha. Yes, yiyud, that's the closest you get, but that's not even called issues. There's no case in issues where kesef is used Bar Kocha. Whereas Yevoma is issues, get is issues, yiyud is not issues. Simple, clear, the Gemara works beautifully according to Rabbeinu Tam.
Why is yiyud not considered issues?
So Rabbeinu Tam explained, because at the time of the kesef there was no issues involved.
Oh,
okay. Okay? So yeah, the yud is issues. You're right, but that wasn't kesef.
That wasn't the transaction.
So the Tosfos is learning really that the yud, it's not a kinyan kesef that you use for yehud. It's true that the kinyan, you kind of convert according to some, you're converting the kesef from the beginning. But the yehud is not done by means of a kinyan kesef. Yehud is issues. Yehud is issues, but it's not done with kesef.
Because it goes back to what you were saying before. The other kinyanim of Bia and Shtar are done l'shem issues. It is l'shem kiddushin. Yehud is only an after effect of, it's another component of the sale. But really, what was going on is that there was a sale. It was a transaction.
When the money passed hands, there was a sale.
Right, and that's all.
Now there's a romance.
There's a privilege now, behind it that he could do.
Right, so now there's a romance. But at the time of the Kenyan case, there was no romance.
Only it wasn't issues. So right. It wasn't l'shem issues. It was l'shem ama ivriya. It was l'shem right. I want a servant, and that's what.
That's what that's how the Rebbeinu Tam understands.
It's interesting that if you think about it, from Yehud vis-a-vis Yevama. And in Yevama, there was some form of kinyan for the first advent, and then there's this whole preconceived kitasmash of Israel, and this kinyan, it's not even so much a kinyan, but this transcendence from being the Shemar Yolam here to being the Isha there, is through the Maisavir. So something happened in the Maisavir, and you learn that, and that's about Karachot, and therefore, that's to establish that the Bia has an element of Karachot that's valid. With the Kesef, as he's pointing out, the Kesef rule here has nothing to do with the Karachot.
Right. Exactly
so
right.
It's really very weak.
Right.
Even certainly in the context of
Ishus,
it's a very weak.
That's what the Gemara is saying. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. You're right that there's a yud which is Bar Kocha, and you're right that the yud is about Ishus, but Kesef has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, the same way he says that's, but not by Ishus, in Amad Riyah and Amad Aleph, it's pretty much the same thing. You really haven't proven anything more.
Right, which is exactly what Rav Huna says.
So, from two points, the kesef was not kesef kiddushin, it was kesef amadriya.
Right.
And the kal v'chomer doesn't apply because the kesef was not a,
yeah, well, the kesef, that because what we want to do and do the kal v'chomer by saying you can't learn from all three because kesef, because all three have an element of bal korcho. So we say in the category of issues, there is no precedent of kesef having an element of bal korcho, and therefore kesef has something that the other two don't have, and if they all work for kiddushin, clearly bal korcho has nothing to do with it, because if bal korcho was an element, it wouldn't, then kesef wouldn't work. Is the way we want to learn it. So now let's look at the Rashi again. The second Rashi from the top. Sheken yeshnon bar korcho, shekone ba'almo bio biyavomo, ushtar begerushin, v'kesef ba'amo ha'ivriya. And kesef works with amo ivriya. So he learns kesef, not the way that... Yeah, he's being consistent. Notice that he adds in one word here. What does he add in his explanation that's relevant? Right, ba'alma. Shekin yeshnan ba'akorcha, shekoyne ba'alma. What does he mean ba'alma? Out there, in outer space. Where in outer space? What's he talking about? Where's the general? If he would say fields and cows and things, but he's not saying, he's talking about bilbi, yavama, shtabi, gishmi, kiz, ba'alma, ivriya. So where's the ba'alma? Yeah, so the Alma, the Afuki Ishus. The Alma is to say, you might think it's an Ishus. I agree that in Ishus there isn't, but the Alma there is. So what does Rav Huna answer? Mia b'Ishus or Ashkechan? Says, according to Rashi, I know that it isn't b'Ishus. What are you? We knew that already in the question. I didn't suggest that there was anything b'Ishus. So how is he going to understand Rav Huna? So look what Rashi does with Rav Huna. Kesef b'Ishus mia lo Ashkechan. Ba'alma ba'akorcha. What has he done here? Before you even learn the Rashi inside, just look at the Dibur HaMaskil. What's Rashi done? Kesef be'ishus. Where's it different from what we've got?
Kesef mio.
Yeah, so we said kesef mio be'ishus loy ashkechon ba'akorcha, and he inserts the word ba'alma again. So what does he mean by that? So he explains, and even though kesef doesn't work be'ishus ba'alma, but he just said a moment ago it does work ba'alma in the case of amo ivriya. So what does he mean it doesn't work be'ishus ba'alma? So let's look at the concern. V'afal korcho. Even alkocha, kegun av mekabel kiddushin lebas, he makes it very clear that that's called bal korcho. Father taking kiddushin for a young girl, that's bal korcho. Ketana, afani avi chupah, so maybe chupah can work as well. So even though kesef doesn't work be'ishus, ba'alma bal korcho, meaning, so kesef ba'alma evriya is ba'alma, but it's not be'ishus ba'alma. Do you see the distinction? So we've got Ishus Ba'alma, and Ba'alma. We've got three, if you think of it as three concentric circles. So Ishus is the central circle. Then if you go beyond that, there's Ishus Ba'alma. What would be an example of Ishus Ba'alma? Maybe Yavama. It's not Erusin, it's not Chupin Kiddushin, but it's Ishus. So maybe that's Ishus Ba'alma. Maybe even Yehud would fit into that category. Would be Ishus Ba'alma. It's Ishus, but not pure Ishus. And then you've got Ba'alma. What's Ba'alma? Amo Ivriya. So you've got, so Rashi's created three categories. Ishus, Ishus Ba'alma, and Ba'alma. Whereas in our Gemara, we only have two categories. Ishus and not Ishus. Ishus and Balma is all we've got in our Gemara. So Rashi has a completely different way of understanding the Gemara. What we've got to do next week is we've got to understand Rashi's way of learning the Gemara. It's not even just his way of learning it. The actual language is different. The Girsa is different. Rashi has different words in his Gemara. So we've got to understand how Rashi learns the Gemara here on Daf Hei. Just understand this. Once we've understood how Rashi learns the Gemara on Daf Hei, we will understand why he cannot learn like Rabbeinu Tam, and why Rabbeinu Tam cannot learn like Rashi. Okay, it's not just that they have two different opinions of Bar Kocha. What you need to try and focus on during the week is using this Rashi. What I'm going to ask you to have a look at is, why can Rashi not possibly learn like Rabbeinu Tam, and why can Rabbeinu Tam not possibly learn like Rashi? And then we'll see beautifully how the philosophy is constructed out of the text. It's the relationship again. It's not wild philosophy. The philosophy of how of these relationships between a father and a young daughter, and what Bar Kocha is and what Bar Kocha isn't, and how you're trying, all of that is learnt out of carefully structured textual analysis. That creates them. The world view emerges out of the text. It's not, and here's where we're so different to Lahavdil secular academics. In secular academics, you start with a world view and then you fit the text accordingly. So, you know, like the biblical critics will start with a worldview that the Torah was written by human beings. So then whenever there's any kind of student, so different authors, you fiddle the text to fit the worldview. In Torah, it's exactly the opposite. The textual analysis is crucial, and that's why the skills of learning are so vital. Because if you haven't got a skill of learning, that's what the conservatives have done. The conservatives aren't reformed. The reformed, they're not goyis the Gemara, so that's fine. The conservatives are goyis the Gemara. They just learn the Gemara without the Masorah of how to learn. So they can come out with it. They start with a worldview, and you'll find textual support for your worldview. That's easy. The art of Lomdus is to be able to build a letter, to allow a worldview to emerge out of the text. To be able to allow a worldview to emerge out of the Lomdus, out of the way you learn. And you'll see here how Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi's worldview about the Ktano emerge from the Gersoros of the text. And then we'll see how Rav Huna and the others' worldview also emerge that way. Those are the things we'll look at in the session for next week. Do we want to learn Monday next week or Sunday next week?